Again, welcome each one to the worship service today. I was encouraged by the prayer that Brother Julius had. A lot of things that he prayed for or the heart of a thankful heart, and I was encouraged by that. There's a verse in Matthew 13, verse 44 that says this: Again, the kingdom of heaven, and this is Jesus speaking. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. What motivated this man to sell everything in this? I'll read this again. This is Matthew 13:44. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. What motivated this man to sell everything that he had and buy this field? What motivated him? Something to think about. I think it goes very well with Matt's devotional this morning, where he talked on the purpose or the destination, a goal that he was, that he seemed like what would Albert Einstein trying to find he responded back and saying that he knew what his name was, but he was trying to look at what his destination was. He did not know where he was heading. And this man in this Jesus parable that he talks about is the man had found this treasure in the field. He goeth and buyeth this field. And his purpose of selling that field was the promise of gaining this treasure that he had found. That's what he wanted. Faith, and I want to kind of, my mind has been going down the thoughts of gratitude. I want to speak on gratitude a little bit, because each one of us this last week, we can all recount how our week went. And some of us had really good week. Some of you might have had a tremendous good week. Things went just smoothly. Everything was good. And it was very easy for you to be very grateful for your week. And then some of you probably did not have that a week where you recount or replay your week and you can say, man, what was there that I could have been thankful for? I'm not sure. Each one of you knows your story. Each one of you has a journey. Each one of you know how the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks have went for you. And I'm not trying to motivate you to be more grateful, because I think gratefulness is more than a motivation. Gratefulness is something that you have to actively decide that's what you want to be. You want to be grateful, a grateful person. Gratitude is a response. And when I looked up the definition for gratitude, it is a response. We can respond to gratitude. And my question this morning is to each one of us, do you and do I view life from a lack? Do we look at life as we're lacking something? Is it always seeming that through life or through your week, through your day, through your hour, through your minute, that it seems like your life, you're lacking something at all times? Just a thought. I'm just asking. Each one of you knows how, what your thought processes are. Matthew 12:35 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil heart, evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Something I just want to, I'm trying to process gratefulness. And I want to try to process, I want to try to encourage us or instill in us that there is a perspective in each one of our lives. Each one of us can look at our life from the point of view as being grateful through every circumstance, or we can view life from a very thanklessness point of view. And I know some of us are more prone to be one way, the other person is prone to be the other way. But what is a treasure in our heart? What comes out from our heart? That is, gratitude is a response to God's grace and goodness, recognizing Him as a source of all blessings, even amidst hardships, by acknowledging His constant love, provision in all situations that we're faced with. One thing that gratitude does not do is gratitude does not ignore the pain. It does not deny reality or suffering, but sees God's presence within it. Say that again. Gratitude is not ignoring pain, and that's not what I want us to get a clearer perspective of what gratitude is. It does not ignore the pain. It does not deny reality or suffering, but sees God's presence within it. That is gratitude. Gratitude is not based on performance, possessions, or feelings, but on an unchanging God. That's gratitude. And if anyone should visit gratitude, it would be me this morning. Because sometimes in life, we can become very much overwhelmed with situations that we're caught in. And sometimes some of our situations in our life just seems like an airplane that's circling. And it's just like, You want to try to see the good in it, but sometimes it's really hard to see the good in the situation. And I want to challenge myself this morning, is what is my response to my life and my situation? What's my response to God? And that song, I know with Brother Simon, he referred back to that, I think it was the first song that Sheldon led, talked about, "Worthy art thou, Lord divine." Oh, boy, I think it's Revelations. Let me just turn to that. Revelations 4, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So, am I a Christian that bursts or shows or responds in gratitude to life? That is my challenge. And what is gratitude? What am I grateful? Am I grateful? There's many things that we can look at gratefulness. What am I thankful for today? What am I grateful for today? Psalms, turn with me to Psalms 13. And you're probably wondering, why would we turn to Psalms 13 when we're talking about gratitude? But I want to this morning maybe just go through this Psalms and just break it down a little bit and try to get an understanding. Maybe you feel this morning like David did in Psalms 13. I don't know what you're feeling this morning. Are you grateful for everything just went exactly how you planned your week? Are you grateful for how things has transpired in your family? Are you grateful for your family? There's so many things that all of us are on a journey, and all of us are processing things. We're going through, working through things. But we want to look at the life of David here in Psalms 13. And I believe David wrote this psalm at a time when everything, his whole life, to me, reading through the psalm, it sounds like his life was just kind of falling apart. It was just, there was anything that of stability that he had was crumbling. It was falling apart. Here, David had, from my understanding, where the psalm is written here, is David was becoming very popular. He went and fought, and people really took a liking to David. And Saul, the king, couldn't handle seeing somebody else getting the light or the attention that really he thought he deserved. So in order for him to gain the attention back, Saul took whatever measures he could, and one of the measures was he tried to do away with David. And he chased him, he looked for him high and low, tried to put his hands on him. And through that, of David having to flee for his life from Saul, he had to leave behind one of his closest friends, Jonathan. We read the life of how close-knit Jonathan and David's lives were knit together. And David found himself in a place of desperation. He was feeling alone. And one of the things, though, reading through this, I think David learned a very valuable lesson, and I hope this morning we as well can pick some truths from David's life, and that is, through our desperation, it sometimes gives an opportunity where God can work in our lives. And that's what we want to kind of look at. So we're going to read through Psalms 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and see me. O Lord my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So I don't know what your week held, or what your day held, maybe all of 2026, how it transpired in your mind. What challenges you're faced with. But does David's prayer here to God, does that resonate with you? It's a question I have. Do you feel with David through this? How long is a critical question. Often we are faced and we are maybe in a time of a challenging period in our life, and sometimes it can seem like our trials or whatever we're going through it just goes on and on and on, and we almost feel that if only we knew when the end was going to come, then I would be able to endure it, because I would have something to look forward to, that I can get through this. And that's David's cry here. He says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me, is what David is asking. And you can kind of tell David in his reading the story, probably familiar to all of you, him trying to run and trying to find a refuge, and his hiding place was exposed, and off he had to go to another place. And really hoping that this running would come to a stop. And you can see his life, one of his closest friends, he has lost them. And there's desperation in his cry to God. And he says, "Oh Lord, how long wilt thou hide? Have you forgotten about me? How long will you hide your face from me?" And we know that God had not forgotten David. God had not hid his face from David. But David felt like what he was feeling was a truth. That's what David felt. According to his feelings, what David was feeling, it was accurate. He was feeling desperation. He was feeling alone. But that was not based on facts, as we will see later on in the chapter. Verse 2, it says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" I want to ask each one of us this question. How long shall I take counsel? When we go through a time in our life, when our experience seems to be, we don't see a clear view of my next step that we need to take. We don't see a clear vision of that. And we process the way we're feeling, and we're working through something that we're feeling. Do we, like David, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? No wonder David was discouraged. He was taking counsel in his own soul, and it led to him being sorrowful in his heart daily. If you and I, in today's situation that you're faced with, reality is we face challenges in life. But if we try to find answers within ourselves to process, to work through something, it ain't gonna work. We are gonna be confronted. We will look at our problem over and over and over again. And we will become more discouraged as time gets on. And that's what David said. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Do I process all these things in my own heart? Do I just process it over and over till my feelings get involved and I'm not basing it off of actual things that are happening? Verse 3, it says, Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. There's a verse in John I just want to turn to. Here he says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." And here he says, "Consider." In John it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." And this is talking about Jesus, the true vine, of us being rooted into the source. And David's cry here is, "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God." God today wants us to continue to cry out to him. Because what our heart's cry is, and if we are abiding in the true vine, and if we are tied into the source, into Jesus Christ, that our hearts will be in tune with what God's desire is for our life. And I want us to remember that. God doesn't want something completely different. As long as we are abiding in God's will, God will make it work. And one of the things that I am encouraged when I read Psalm 13, it says, "O Lord, my God, lighten my eyes." David had the wisdom to know that though he felt powerful feelings in his life, he wasn't seeing reality. He wasn't seeing what was actually taking place. His vision was very clouded. And one of the things is, even though we take counsel in our souls, we work through things in our life, we mentally try to process it, sometimes our vision gets so blurred and we do not see clearly. And one of our prayers should be the same as David's, is lighten my eyes that I do not fall asleep. And I think he's meaning spiritual death. Because if we get so clouded and we can get overloaded and we can live in a dark cloud, our prayer should be, God, enlighten my eyes that I do not fall into a place where I become spiritually dead. I find it encouraging to see David's experience here is something that I can relate to. We can relate to. In Ephesians, it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, this is Paul talking to this into his letter to the church and to the Ephesus. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and that the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is that exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places? I just, and this is Paul's prayer to the church there too, was that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And that is my prayer this morning, that we would be able to see the mighty work that God is performing in your life, or that he can perform in your life if you abide in him and allow him to work in your life. So there's three elements that David was working through. David had three of the things that why he was under this cloud, it seemed like. His relationship with God, he was challenging his relationship with God because he was wondering, where is God in what he was going through? Secondly, he was working with his inner self. In verse 2, he says, how long shall I counsel in my soul daily? He was wrestling within himself. And the third point is, it was regarding his enemies, and we're going to look at that. And he says in verse 4, it says, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against them, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. And this is the other thing that he was working with, and that was why he was under this cloud. It was, he was feeling and he was afraid that his enemies would boast after he was defeated. And those were the three things that David was working through right now, is his relationship with God, with himself, and he was focusing on his enemy. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. So in the state where you're working through, your situation, are you sometimes worried about how this whole picture is going to unfold and how it's going to look to someone else that maybe is intimidating you in a sense? And David's going to get a better perspective of it. And in verse 5 he says, but I have trusted in thy mercies, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He came to a place, David came to a place of confidence and trust. He said, I have trusted in thy mercy. All of a sudden, David came to a realization of past tense. How had God brought him through his journey, what had brought him to this place, and how many times had God been faithful to him. And that's what David is also recounting. He says, I have trusted. So it's a past tense. He's saying, I have trusted. Previously I've trusted, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. So that's, he is all of a sudden, there was a flip. There was a change in him. David remembered that he really trusted God, and the fog that was covering his eyes that he could not see, that his prayer had been answered. God and enlightened him. He's seen through the fog, and he all of a sudden seen God's mercy, how God had unfolded, how God had worked in his life. And I want us to apply that to our life this morning. Whatever you're going through, look at the past, how God has brought you to this place in your life. What a change from the beginning, verse 1, of David being overwhelmed with life and fleeing for his life, losing a friend, feeling like God had forgotten him. Yet now, after he prayed that God would enlighten him, David could see the goodness of God, how it had changed. His perspective had changed. And one of the things I think I need to apply to my life today is I need to realize that sometimes, or most of the time, I cannot see the whole picture. And I need to understand that feelings do not relay a clear, it doesn't give you a good sense of information what's going on in life. Our feelings sometimes toy, they mess with us sometimes, and that's not accurate information. We need to look at the facts. When the fog had lifted off of his eyes, in how God answered his prayers, he was able to see that he was allowing his feelings to mess him up. And so he cried to God, and that's what one thing that we can do today too, is we can cry out to God that he would enlighten us, bring us out of despair to a place of trust, to joy, to confidence, how David was here in verse 5. And this is one of the things that challenged me when I was reading verse 5. It says, my heart, after he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He says, my heart shall rejoice. He directed his, instead of allowing his feelings to direct him, he told his heart what mattered. He told his heart, he said his heart, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. My heart shall rejoice because really, in reality, I'm standing on solid ground. It does, my feelings are making it look like everything is shaky, things are falling apart. But David said, but when I tell my heart to rejoice and I tell my feelings to get out of the way, I tell my heart that there is a lot of good out there. My heart shall rejoice on the solid ground, putting it in my own words. And verse 6, he says, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. One of the things I want us to think about this morning, that it's very important for us to realize that God's presence is as real to us, or his presence is very real to us, even though when we're going through a really low time in our life, God's presence is there. You might not see it, like just like David did. He did not see it. He felt alone. But God's presence is there. The same way God's presence will be there when you're going through, when things are going really well for you, you're thinking, think you're on top of the world, and it just seems like there is so much gratitude, so much thankfulness in your life. God is at the same place in your life. It's just that we need to pray that God will enlighten our eyes, that we will see beyond the circumstance that we're faced with. And my prayer this morning is that I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He is expressing himself, God, you are you have seen the situation, you have brought me to this place, and it is kind of like our devotions that we had, is he all of a sudden had a clear vision of his purpose and his goal in his life. And that's what David did. That is where I want us to focus this morning, is what am I grateful for? What am I thankful for? Am I thankful for the salvation that God has provided for me? Am I thankful that God has forgiven the sin, that we've overcome? Am I thankful to God for the victories that he has blessed me with, that he has helped me overcome? Am I thankful for that? Am I grateful for that? Am I thankful for my family? Am I thankful for my wife? Am I thankful for my husband? Am I thankful for, we don't understand. Sometimes the situations are not ideal, but am I thankful that God's presence is there with me? Am I thankful this morning that we have an opportunity to worship God today? Am I thankful to God that God can give us peace in any circumstance that we're part of? Gratefulness is not taking nothing for granted, but acknowledging that each gift or each victory in our life is a gift from God. Recognize that God is the giver. Like Psalms 136 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And God is unchanging. Like David said in verse 6, "Because he hath dealt bountifully with me." God is unchanging. The same God that has helped us through good times, some challenging times, he's unchanging. He will be there. I do see the time is getting away, and I got quite a bit of notes, so one of the things that I had to think of is gratitude is in Genesis 3. When we look at the beginning of time in how Adam and Eve lived in the garden, and we see everything going well for them, and how the devil came, how Satan, it says, came to Eve and challenged her. And I'll just read Genesis 3, a couple of verses. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." You know, that is the devil's tactic in our life, is instead of seeing the beauty of what God has placed in our life, he tries to shift our focus away, that we see the things that we're missing in life. And that's what he was doing here to Eve. He was trying to bring a life of lack into her life. Look what you're missing. And that is the devil's tactic, that he tries to discourage us. That brings discouragement to our life when we don't live a life of gratitude. When we live a life of thanklessness, we become very, our focus, our perspective on life changes because we look at the things that we're missing out in life instead of being thankful for what God has done for us. And that's a challenge to us today. Our actions today, how you go through life, our actions will prove if we're a grateful person. being grateful in every circumstance is not often, or is not very natural to most of us. But can we make that choice? Like David in verse 5, where he said, I will, putting in my own words, I'll tell my heart to rejoice. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. That's David was saying, I will actively, that's the decision that I'm going to make. There's so many experiences that we face in life. Lots of experiences that we face in life. And there's some that stand out more than others. But there is so many things that we can be thankful for. So many things to be grateful for. I want to close today with Romans 8. I want to read a few verses in Romans 8. Romans 8, 31 to 32. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is something that we can be grateful for today, is what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So one thing we need to understand in that God is fighting for us. He's not trying to, sometimes our perspective on the things that come into our life, we can say, why is God placing these things in our life? We can maybe have a grateful attitude and ask God, what is he trying to teach us through these things that we're faced with in life? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And that's the kind of God that we serve today. Is my heart relaying a heart of gratitude for what God has done? That God has given us salvation. That God has given he is for us. God has given us everything. And we can move forward in life with assurance, with full confidence, knowing that God will be with us. But we need to abide in God's will. We need to abide, having our hearts in tune. And I think that should be our prayer, is that our heart will be in line and in tune with what God's desire is for us. My challenge today is I want to be a person that's more thankful. I want to show my actions. I want my actions to show that I'm a grateful person for what God has done. May God bless each one of you with may God give each one of us a grateful heart. Help us, God, to see a clearer, that God will enlighten our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and our perspective, that we see beyond our current circumstance, but see God for who he is and how God is wanting to pour out his wisdom and wants to pour out direction for our life. God wants each one of us to be victorious in every aspect of our life. May God bless you.